This won't go away, will it, brother? And I'm still raspy. You'll have to forgive me. Where is the first time the word redeemed is used in the Bible? It's actually going to be in our text tonight, not in our primary text, but we'll discuss it a little bit. The first time the word redeemed is used. Huh? Well, that's a good start, Miss Colleen. It's a broad window, though. I'm going to tell you, that's a broad window. What's that? No, Miss Colleen's right. It's in Genesis. But I mean, if I'm not mistaken, I think there's 50 verses in Genesis, or 50 chapters in Genesis. 48:16 is correct. You cheater. Then who said it, Miss Colleen? Jacob did. Jacob was talking to an angel. And then get back with me? Huh. Hey, I don't think it's homework. So I'm supposed to give it to you at the end of the lesson. That way you have the answer for me the next time. But then y'all go home, whip out your phones, and have Google tell you what the answer is. And sometimes. That's the reason I always use like at least 10 references. I was talking to Miss Carol, and she asked me, how do I look things up? I'm like, well, it usually starts with 10 different references, and you try to make sure they all match together. I don't know. I don't even know what to say. It's okay. I got a lot of dictionaries and a lot of books I use, so I understand that too. But I use Google too. So, a minister waited in line to have his car filled with gas just before a long holiday weekend. The attendant worked quickly, but there were many, many cars ahead of him. Finally, the attendant motioned him towards a vacant pump. "Reverend," said the young man, "I'm so sorry about the delay. It seems as if everyone waits until the last minute to get ready for a long trip." The minister chuckled. "I know what you mean. It's the same in my business." True statement, too. If you have your Bibles, if you would please, find your place in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 21. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 21. The title of the night's message is The Inner Israel. The Inner Israel. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 21. If you find your places, go ahead and stand. It's a short message tonight. It should take me all of about 2 or 3 hours and we'll be done. You know, be out of here. No, y'all know I ain't that long-winded. I ain't got that much in me. So, Hebrews chapter 11. In verse 21, the Word of God says, "By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning upon the top of his staff." Father God, we want to start tonight by just saying we love you. And Lord, we thank you for your dear gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. And Lord, for every drop of blood that he shed on Calvary for us. We thank you for the price that he paid that we couldn't. Father God, we thank you for our redemption through him. We thank you for such a great love, Lord. Father God, we thank you for the opportunity and freedom to open your word tonight, and we pray for your help. Lord, anoint the Holy Spirit inside of us and give us guidance. Help us understand, Lord. Lord, be with the FBI. I must get on the back and the children, help them to learn. We pray for the salvation across this house tonight. Anyone in this building, Lord, is lost. We pray today will be the day of their salvation. Father God, we pray just for a little while that you'll come down and dwell among your people. Help us to eat of the choicest meat at thy table tonight. Help us to learn and to glean. Lord, I'm not worthy to preach your word, but I pray that you'd hide me behind a cross and help your unworthy servant to preach. And Lord, may you receive the honor and all the glory for it. In the Lamb's name that we pray. Amen. Excuse me. We find here the condition of Jacob. He's an elder man at this time. If you would like to follow along in the story, you'll pick up the passages in Genesis 47 and 48 in your Bibles. We find that Jacob is 147 years old, a young man. Most of his life was spent moving place to place, living in tents, living off the land. It was a hard life. By no means was it easy. He had no comforts that we have today. And every day was a toil on his body. Every day was a test of his will. Every day added a wrinkle to his face. We find in our text that he's losing strength. We find he's running out of physical strength. Genesis 47:31 says, "And he said, swear unto me." He swore unto him, and Israel bowed himself upon the bedhead. He had no strength to get out of bed. He was weak. And I guess it's fair to say at 147 years old, it's okay to be weak physically. It's okay not to have the strength to stand anymore or to get up. Genesis 48:2 says, "And one told Jacob, and he said, behold, thy son Joseph cometh unto thee, and Israel strengthened himself and set up upon the bed." We see that Jacob's body is so weak at this time. He has to physically think about it. He has to gain all the energies that he has left in his body and bring himself together to simply rise up, to sit up in his own bed. He doesn't have much left inside him. His strength is truly failing him. There's not much left of the physical man of Jacob. He has to pull his strength together. And our verse today says that even after he pulled all of his strength together, if you can imagine, I guess he sits his legs off to the side, because our verse today says he leans on his staff even to hold his own body up. So you can picture a 147-year-old man sitting on the side of a bed, physically drained from a hard life, unable to even support his own weight, but he's leaning upon his staff, sitting there. So not only can he stand, but he can't even support his own weight. He's leaning across his staff. We see the strain of sin's curse written in the wrinkles of his face. We know from reading further on in the text that his eyes have failed him. He can't even see anymore. His physical body is all but gone. The last 17 years is the only ease that his life has ever seen. He has faced trial and tribulation one after another. We know the last 17 years was the easiest because he was restored with Joseph and they lived in Egypt underneath the blessings of what Joseph had provided for them under Pharaoh. Underneath what God had blessed Joseph for. So Joseph blessed his father in comfort the last 17 years of his life. But for Jacob, the years have caught up with him. And now he's in a weak state. No longer able to stand, only able to sit and to lean upon a staff. He has made the burial promise with his beloved Joseph to bury his body in Canaan. For he don't want to be buried in Egypt. The foreshadow of death is at his door. And he is closing the final chapter of his book. We find that he is calling in the family to give his final blessings. For he knows that his time draws nigh. We find a lot of people today in a state of despair. Today's cancer runs wild. New diseases pop up everywhere. Antibiotics are no longer working. Look at the flu in itself this year. How much it has hurt people. Medicines no longer attack it. The things that used to work, germs are now building up antibodies against them, so we can't touch them anymore. People today are sicker than what they used to be. And the sickness lasts longer and longer. Sin's curse is sinking deeper and deeper into our bodies. There's been a study that's been done. And for our youth, they're saying that their age is actually going to regress more so than ours. For a simple fact, the medicine is not working anymore. They're not exercising and getting out anymore. So it's going to take effect. So we're going to see the state that Jacob's in more and more across the world. We're going to find that our bodies are going to start to fail more often. And come to a point in time where they're just going to be wore out. They're going to be done. But oftentimes we quit well before our bodies are tired and worn out like Jacob's. Oftentimes we give up well before our bodies have reached the final death stage as Jacob has. Oftentimes we quit well in advance before we should. We give up. Jacob has yet to give up. At 147 years old in our text tonight, we find what? First, we find by faith. Then we find that he worships. And then we find that he leans upon a staff. We're going to look at these three things. And how that a 147-year-old man that's on his deathbed can show us how to praise and serve God. And how that we should never give up. How that we should not stop, no matter what's going on in our physical bodies. We're going to look at something that has a lot more strength than the outside. We're going to look at something that does not die. We're going to look at something that lasts forever. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshipped leaning upon his staff. Joseph's body was decaying. Joseph's body was dying. Joseph's body reeked. Jacob's body reeked of death. But the inner Israel was alive. The inner Israel had strength. The inner Israel had power. The inner Israel was jubilant and ready to go. You see, Jacob was his earthly name. But Israel is what God knows him as. Revelation 2:17 says, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it." Ecclesiastes 12:7 says, "Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it." By faith, Jacob blessed both sons, Manasseh and Ephraim. By faith, Jacob was alive. Jacob's body was dying, but by faith Israel was alive and well inside of him. By faith, it says, the Bible says it, Jacob blessed the two sons of Joseph. And what did he bless them with? He blessed them with the promised land. He blessed them with the land that God had promised him. By faith, Jacob had not even received this land yet. He didn't reach back into his bank account and pull out money. He didn't reach back and write a script for them. He didn't give land that he already had a deed to or a title for. No. He put his hands on them and he gave them the same blessing that God blessed them with him with, and which was what? The promised land. He wrote them a check from heaven. He wrote them a deed that God had gave him by faith. He gave them the promise. He gave them a deed to the land that was coming. A deed that was given to Abraham. A deed that was given to Isaac. And a deed that was passed down to Jacob. Now it's a deed that he's passing down to Manasseh and Ephraim. By faith. Jacob was dying, but Israel had faith in God. Israel was alive inside and knew that God was still real. He knew that God's promises were still coming. He may not have been able to see it because he was 147 years old, and he knew that his time was gone. He couldn't see the night of day anymore because his eyes were failing. But Israel inside of him could still see God in heaven. He could still hear the promises. He could still remember the day that he wrestled the pre-incarnated Christ and understood the blessings that was coming. And by faith, he reached out and laid his hands on his grandsons and said, "I'm making these my children today, and I'm passing my blessings upon them." And by faith, Israel blessed them. He lived by faith. He knew that he was dying, but by faith he knew God was still going to keep his promise. He had nothing left in his physical body. He could do nothing more. He could not stand. He couldn't even raise up out of the bed. He couldn't even hold himself up. He had to lean upon a staff. But the Israel inside of him, the person that God knew, was alive. Full of zeal. Full of excitement. And focused on one thing. God. He wasn't weary inside. He was worn out on the outside, but the inside was just as fresh as a new man. And alive and vibrant for God. Our outside bodies may decay. Our outside bodies may get hurt. They may slump with weariness and tired. We may get sick. But nothing should affect the inside bodies. Nothing should infect our inside Israel. For that's controlled by God. The Bible tells you to put on the new man. To put on Christ. Our outside bodies has no effect on how the inside feels. Has no effect. The inside never dies out. The inside should never get tired. The inside should never get weary. And at 147 years old, Jacob says, by faith. And he had faith. And he blessed his grandchildren. Jacob was dying. But Israel's faith was alive and well. Colossians 3:10 says, "And have put on the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge after the image of him that created him." Romans 13:14. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provisions for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. The new man was alive and full of strength inside of Jacob. The body was worn and tattered, but faith prevailed. Acts 4:34 says, my meat is to do the will of Him that sent me and to finish His work. His work takes His strength and His power and His might. His fulfillment comes from within our hearts, from within the new man. His fulfillment and His strength comes from inside us. His fulfillment does not come from our natural bodies. Paul in himself was a fine example. He was a sick man, but he has such great strength through Christ. Never given up, beat multiple times in the deep. We know the stories. But where did he get his strength from? It wasn't his natural body. Because we know he had to stay with Dr. Luke the whole time to take care of him. Where did he get his strength? It was a new man that he put on that day on the Damascus Road. It was a Christ that he put on that day. That's where his strength came from. I don't know what Paul's new name is in heaven, but that's what God knew him as. And that's where his strength came from. And that's where our strength comes from today. Our bodies are going to get weak. They're going to get tired. But our inner person that God knows us by, the name that we are called by Him, should never wear out, should never get tired. He did not need physical strength anymore, for it was faith that moved him. Faith in the promise that God had given him of the promised land of the nation of Israel. And he had faith in the salvation of the coming of Christ. He had faith in Genesis 3:15. He had faith in everything that God had taught him and everything that God had told him. He had faith. We go on to see in our verse, and it says, and he worshipped. He not only had faith in the inner Israel, but he worshipped. How did Jacob worship? First, he worshipped in faith. For without faith it is impossible to please God. Hebrews 11:6. But we find in Genesis 48:15, and he blessed Joseph and said, God, before whom my father Abraham and Isaac did walk, the God which fed me all of my life long unto this day. He worshipped in remembrance. He remembered the things that God had did for him. He remembered the times that God had provided for him. He remembered the times that God protected him. And he worshipped God and gave thanks for these things. He's 147 years old. He's dying. He's going home. But he's worshiping, he's praising God for every glorious blessing that he received throughout his life. He's recalling the fact that God's been there every step of the way. This is Jacob, born on the hill of Esau, and he remembers God and all the things that he's done for him. He's giving praise and glory in his final hours. He's not caring that he's dying. He's not complaining that he can't see. He's loving God. He's praising God. He's worshiping in his heart. And in his mind, he remembers everything that God has done for him. He remembers his children. He remembers his wife. He remembers his childhood. And he thanks God for it all. He worships Him in his heart and in his mind. No, he can't bow down. No, he can't jump up. No, he can't go out of his house. But what he can do is give remembrance. And he gives it all to God. And he praises Him for it. And he worships Him with the trueness of his heart. Genesis 48:16, the angel which redeemed me from all evil, bless the lads and let my name be named on them. The name of thy fathers, Abraham and Isaac, and let them grow in the multitude in the midst of the earth. This comes from where Jacob wrestled the angel in Genesis 32, the pre-incarnate Christ. Jacob remembers this. He remembers that day that he wrestled with an angel and he walked away with a limp. And he thanks God for that limp. He thanks God that every day that he walked from then on, he walked with a limp. Because that limp reminded him He's seen the face of Christ. That lip reminded him that he was blessed by God. That lip reminded him that that day his name went from Jacob to Israel and he was redeemed. And he gave God the glory for it. The day before he died, he praised God and he remembered, "I remember this, Lord. I remember the time I wrestled with you. I remember the blessings of that day. I thank you. I thank you for the very limp that's in my bones, for the blessings that you've given me." He praised him and he worshiped him. No, he could not go anywhere. No, he couldn't do anything. But in his heart and his mind, he gave complete reverence to God. What an example. He remembered. In our physical weakness, there's no time for faithlessness, but more faith. It is no time for less praise and worship, but it's time for remembrance and shouting and singing and joy. In our physical weakness is a time to thank God for His glory, for the days that we had. In our physical weakness is a time to give remembrance for what God has done for us in our youth, for the blessings that God has given us. It's not a time for pity. It's not a time for wishing I could do more. It's a time for understanding what God has blessed us for and with. It's a time to honor Him with a worship of remembrance. Jacob remembered God and worshiped Him upon his staff. What faith and joy and reverence he had for God. Israel was alive and the fire was kindled and burned inside of him. We would do well to take a lesson from the departed saint. How we complain and give in and up so easily. But in the hour of death, his spirit was one with God and not complaining. It was not a woe is me sympathy. He had every right to play at 147 years old. No, it was faith and worship to his Creator. It was thanks and praise to his King. It was this new man that he had put on. It was this new name that he was known by God. It was a soul that was redeemed that was speaking with youth and zeal. It was the inner Israel that had control of Jacob's life and not the decaying body. He is in faith worshiping and leaning upon the top of his staff. It would seem that Jacob is leaning on his staff due to his weakening stage and his age. It would seem that it was the only means of support to hold his age-stricken body up so that he could bless his grandsons. It would be reasonable to think this. A lot of elder people and individuals are reduced to using canes in their final stages of life. They are used to support the body, to walk or to help take the pressure off a wounded side. Y'all know that I've used crutches many a times. But Jacob's staff meant so much more. We find the great shepherd's staff in Psalms 23:4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. The greatest example of a staff is the one yielded in the master's hand. The one that is perfectly hewed and tested trial after trial. The one that has been in the hand of the Creator since the beginning of time and has brought comfort to the lost sheep. It has brought stability to shaky houses, for it's like a great pillar that stands unshaken in the windstorms. It is gentle, prodding, gives directions to the misguided. But when needed, its powerful blow of the staff makes the fierce foes render in defeat. Isaiah 36:6 says, "Lo, thou trustest in the staff of this broken reed." On Egypt. Whereon if a man lean, it will go into his hand and pierce it. You cannot use a broken staff. You can only use a perfect staff. A staff hewn out of good wood. A staff that's been tried time and time again. You don't use a staff made out of soft wood. You pick your staffs well. There is no foreign staff of another hand or land to trust in, but that of the one that has been proven over and over again. No other staff would support a Christian sojourner than the one that was given at the time of his conversion. Mark 6:8 says, "And he commanded them that they should take nothing for their journey save a staff only. No scrip, no bread, no money." We find that Christ, when He sends out His 12, that they only take a staff, for that's all that they needed. Jacob knew the importance of a staff. We find in Genesis 32:10 the words of Jacob, "I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies and of all the truth which thou hast shewed unto thy servants. For with my staff I have passed over this Jordan, and now I am become two bands." His staff had been proven throughout the years, and in faith he trusted in it. His staff represents his sojourning. It was with him from the time of his vagabond years, where he traveled from place to place and lived in a tent. There was not a place that Jacob went without his staff. His staff was used to keep him upright, to keep him stable, to move rocks, to fight off enemies, to warn off predators. His staff was there the whole time, all along the way. Staff provided protection. We find Jacob now in his hour of death that he's resting upon his staff. He's resting upon Genesis 49:18. He says, "I have waited for thy salvation, O Lord." We find Jacob resting his head upon his staff at the edge of his bed. You see, Jacob never went anywhere without his staff. He never did anything without his staff. So what is he telling us? He's holding his staff and saying, "I'm ready to go." He has his staff in his hands, and in faith, he has blessed. He has his staff in his hands, and he has worshipped God. He has his staff in his hands. He's ready to go. He said, "This land is not my home. Don't bury me here. I don't belong here. This is Egypt. I belong in Canaan. This land is not my home. I'm ready to go." He's sitting on the edge of his bed with a staff in his hand, and I'm sitting here picturing this. You know, his eyes are dim from the years, but I bet they're aglow. He has but hours to live, and he knows it. He gets through blessing his two grandsons. He calls in the rest of his sons and he blesses them. But I can picture Jacob sitting on the edge of his bed, his hand on his staff, and sitting there. I bet he's smiling ear to ear. He's got his staff because he's ready to walk. He's ready to walk to the east where he knows where he's going. He said, "I'm waiting on my salvation. I'm waiting on my Lord, my Redeemer, the angel that I wrestled in the field until the morning come. I'm ready to go, Lord. I don't belong here. This is not my place of residence. My time has come. Lord, I got my staff. I'm ready to go." 147 years old. In faith, he blessed. In faith, he worshipped. And in faith, he grabbed his staff and said, "God, I'm ready to go home." He's ready to go. What a man. The body is dead and soon will return to the dust of the ground. But the Israel inside is alive. And will soon join God in heaven. With the scent of death in his nostrils, Israel had fervent faith. He could not muster strength to stand, but he worshiped God better than what we do. Upon the strength of the proven, he waited on his salvation, ready to go. Just let one that God knows. Could you imagine if we would let the name of the person that God knows us by take control, like Israel took control of Jacob. If we would let that person inside of us that God knows us by take control and have that fervent fire to give us that energy, that strength in a time of need, to give us that motivation, that drive, and that desire to go, that endless will to serve God. So that's what Jacob had on his deathbed by faith, worship, and got ready to go. What an example of a man to love God. Let's stand. Father God, we love You. And we thank You. Lord, we thank You for Your glory. The altar time is Yours. It's the time of our hearts to deal with You. Lord, by chance, if there's one that's here that's lost that never accepted Thy Son, Jesus Christ, their person, Lord and Savior. One has never repented of their sins and asked You into their heart. May this be that time. Maybe there's one that's not doing what they're supposed to be, not serving You. May they get back right with You. But Lord, we just ask that You guard this time, Lord. Deal with hearts and lives. And Lord, and just draw us close to You. And Lord, may we allow the Holy Spirit to take control of our lives and become the children of God that You desire us to be. Lord, we love You and thank You. Amen. The altar is open. Are you doing your best to give God everything? Every ounce of your energies, are they spent serving God? Are you allowing your physical body